Hi everyone, good morning. I hope you're all well this morning. I'm Phoebe, if you don't already know me. I'm one of the students at KV Church and I've been running a home group with Jodie for the past year here. Today we're going to continue our series in Luke, following the life of Jesus. We're currently in chapter 12, partway along Jesus' journey to Jerusalem with his disciples, where they're going to celebrate the Passover festival with lots of other Israelites. Chapters 9 to 19 document this journey, and throughout, Jesus shares lots of teachings and parables which get people to rethink the way that they live. If you have your physical or digital Bibles with you this morning, you can find today's parable in chapters 12, verses 35 to 40. And it might be helpful to keep that in front of you while I speak. In this section, Jesus is talking to a crowd of thousands of people. And Catherine is going to read the passage for us now.
Thank you. Is it on?
Yay!
Okay. So, as Phoebe said, we're in Luke chapters 12, verses 30 to 40, and we'll be reading from the New International Version. Stay dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Thanks, Catherine. As mentioned, this teaching comes in a section of Luke that is filled with parables, which the sermons here in previous weeks and the weeks to come will be looking at. And parables are the picture stories Jesus told to both challenge us and to show us more about his character and therefore God's character too. So let's take a closer look at how this parable might be challenging us, the insight it gives us into God's character, and how we can take its instructions into our daily lives practically and helpfully. This parable is talking about the next step in God's big throughout time plan, Jesus coming back and bringing God's kingdom in full. It is a stark reminder that right now we're living in a waiting period for Jesus' return, and Jesus wants us to be watching for him in this waiting period. In order to look at today's passage, we're going to look at two questions that emerged when I read it. The first one is, what does it mean to spend this time waiting for Jesus to come back when we have other things we need to do or want to do? And secondly, why is Jesus so adamant that we should focus on the next part of God's plan rather than the present? And there's a greater question that I think runs through both of these two, which I think Jesus is challenging us to consider today, which is, what is it that we are waiting for and watching for in this period before Jesus comes back? What are we waiting for and watching for in this period before Jesus comes back? In this parable, Jesus suggests it should be him, the master, that we should be waiting for and watching for in each day in this period. The first two verses where this is the message say, stay dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door to him. I just imagine them with their faces up against the window, it's dark outside, and they're waiting eagerly for their master to return, who must be coming any minute, ready to run to the door and open it for him. And it reminds me of a scene from my favourite comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes, where Calvin, the six-year-old boy, returns home from school at the end of the day, and is greeted immediately by his toy tiger, who in his imagination is alive, and has been waiting for him to come home, and it looks like this. But in our lives, what does it mean for us to every day wait and watch for Jesus to come back? Because we have other things that we need to do, or other things that we want to do in this world and this time while we're waiting. So that's my first question. What does it mean to spend this time waiting for Jesus? Waiting with eyes fixed on him when we have other things that we need to do or want to do. Jesus told this parable knowing full well that the crowd around him and us today have other things we need to do or want to do in our lives, on earth, right now, before he has returned. And I don't think he's saying we should stop those things and sit down and wait. After all, the Great Commandment tells us to go and do things, go and make disciples in this time. And yet, Jesus asks us to be waiting and watching for him. So how do we marry those two things? The things we need and want to do, and waiting and watching for Jesus to come back, like the servants keeping their lamps burning, ready to open the door to him. I think it's about seeking Jesus and his kingdom first each day, and yielding, giving over the other practical things, the pressures, the obligations, the plans we've made, the expectations put on us, our own goals, to God's will. Seeing the things of this world in the context of this as a waiting period for Jesus' coming back and bringing God's kingdom in full. And this is exactly what Jesus said 5 verses before today's passage, when he said in verses 29 to 31, "Do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink or be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." He talked about not fearing, worrying, or storing up the stuff of this world first, but instead seeking God and his kingdom first. And this has been a key message in the rest of chapter 12 so far, which Toby, Carol, and Jim have unpacked in previous weeks. In today's passage, Jesus is calling us again to look at him first and reminding us to be waiting for his promised return. What Jesus is suggesting by saying we should be like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet is that in the midst of all the practical things that he knows we need to do or want to do each day, that we should remember to seek him and his kingdom first. Because his return and God's kingdom coming in full is the next part of the story that we are waiting for. He's saying there's a bigger picture here to focus on amidst the things right in front of us. It maybe sounds like a simple message, but I think the reason Jesus is making a point with this story is because he knows it's so easy for us to forget and get caught up every day thinking that what I have planned or the things that I acquire that day are most important. Living amongst and for the priorities of the world and forgetting to seek God and his kingdom first as a priority over these things, even when they are good things. I think the servants in the story who do keep waiting for Jesus are actually doing really well. I think about when I'm waiting for someone, When I was a child, waiting at the window for a parent to arrive home, I would have an intense attention on the drive, like the servants in the parable waiting to rush to the door when they get there. In contrast, when I'm waiting for someone now, I often fill the time with checking things off my to-do list. Oh, I'll just finish that and I'll get that done. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what can sometimes happen is I get caught up and distracted by my tasks so much that I forget I'm waiting at all. And then I'm surprised when the doorbell goes and my friend lets themselves in. But because I'm still in the middle of the task, I call out, oh, let me just finish this and then I'll be with you. Suggesting that doing my task is now more important than what I was originally waiting and hoping for, which was the arrival of my friend, which I'd then missed. I come back to the challenge that I think this parable raises. What are we waiting for and watching for each day in this period before Jesus comes back? Is Jesus what I am waiting for and watching for each day? Or have I started to give too much of my attention to the things of the world before him? Practical tools can help us to make moments each day, however long or short our season of life allows, to draw our attention to Jesus and seek his kingdom. And remember the things of the world in the context of this as a waiting period for Jesus' return and the coming of God's kingdom in full. And the Lord's Prayer is one of these helpful tools, which apparently KV Kids is also doing this morning. And I was reminded of it when reading today's passage, particularly the opening lines, which say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The order of the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus must have chosen for a reason, reflects today's parable in that it guides us to focus on our Father in heaven and his kingdom coming first, and then ask for our daily bread, our needs, which God also deeply cares about. So that's a good one to pray. Brennan Manning suggested in his book, Ruthless Trust, that he finds it helpful to commit an hour of time to prayer each morning to focus his attention that day on Jesus and God's kingdom, which he is waiting for. Amidst the demands of the world, the things he needs or desires. He said it helps him to prevent from reaching for CEO of the world. For me, I also find spending time in the morning with a cup of tea before I switch on my phone can be a helpful moment to center on God and remember to yield the things I want, the plans I have, the pressures of that day to God's bigger plans. Or at least invite him into them. And for someone else, the simple act of putting on their shoes each morning was their everyday moment to focus on Jesus. It was a moment to say, okay, God, what are we doing today? Reminding them to be waiting for Jesus by looking to him and prioritizing him over the priorities of the world. These obviously aren't essential acts, but there's some helpful things that we could do to remind us to be like the servants who are seeking Jesus and remembering his importance and that he is coming back. What would help you to remind you to focus on Jesus despite the things of the world that you need or want in the everyday activity of life? Could it be saying the Lord's Prayer, quiet time in the morning before turning on your phone, or tying your shoelaces as a prayer? Is there a manageable thing that you already do or want to commit to anew this week? I'll give us a moment to think. So why don't we try doing it or continuing it this week? To remind us of the importance of watching for and waiting for Jesus each day and seeking his kingdom first. Looking to the next two verses of the passage, verses 37 and 38, Jesus shows us that watching and waiting for him will end in blessing. The verses in the ESV version read, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." This brings me to my second question. Why is Jesus so adamant that we should focus on the next part of God's plan, where Jesus comes back and brings the new heavens and new earth, rather than focusing on the present? Because it's a good thing coming. Our earthly service that sees us watching for our master's return so we can immediately open the door to him, yielding our daily lives, our obligations, our plans, our own goals, all to him and seeking him first, Jesus says will result in blessing, also meaning happiness here. When the master comes back, he will wait on the servants' wants and supply all their needs. When the master returns, he says he will put on the servants' clothes and serve the servants. And, as one commentary put it, help the servants to portions of the marriage feast that he has brought home with him, as a father might do for his children. He wants us to remember the next part of God's plan, because it promises good things for us. Focusing on the next part of God's plan is also a good thing for the present too. I think Jesus asks us to focus on and value the fact he is coming back and going to bring God's kingdom in full to help us in practice to reduce our accumulation of things of the world or our fears and worries about them. Having the perspective that we are in a waiting period for Jesus' return and God's kingdom coming in full may help us to remember the world's priorities aren't our ultimate focus and endpoints. It perhaps helps their sometimes overwhelming significance and intimidation to reduce a little when we focus on God's bigger picture and next step. So Jesus asks us to keep in mind the next step of God's plan for good reasons. Before I move on to the last two verses, I want to briefly look at what verses 37 and 38 show us about Jesus's and therefore God's character, because these are the insights the Bible drops in to show us what the God we serve is like. A master serving his servants is a radical thing and reminds us Jesus is a different kind of master that we serve. He's not unkind. He doesn't even demand that the servants do their job when he comes home. What happens when he gets home is the master puts on the servants' clothes and asks them to recline at the table and serves them. This is the greatest mark of all honor, a master serving his servants. Jesus here and throughout the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is true to his own description of himself, which he mentions once in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. He says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." The actions Jesus took were consistent with that description as well, like the way he washed his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And he's sticking to that description of himself here. How gentle and how lowly is the heart of this master who has the highest authority and yet uses his power in the lowliest act of serving his own servants. We serve an incredibly gentle and lowly master. In the last two verses, verses 39 and 40, Jesus reminds us we don't know when he'll come back, when God's kingdom will come in full. So he says, be ready always, putting it like this. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. What he's asking is for us to be waiting and watching for him every day. As we said earlier, it seems Jesus knows that it's so easy to get caught up every day in the priorities of the world, the things we need and want, and forget to seek God's kingdom first. So here, Jesus emphasizes that we need to turn our attention to him each and every day and remind ourselves that we are living for God and his plan, not the world. But there's also a promise here. The Son of Man will come. This, in contrast to our tasks, our goals, and expectations in the world, is a trustworthy thing to set our eyes on and put our hope in. Seeking Jesus and his kingdom first each day and yielding the other practical things to God's will, like our obligations and our plans, is a good thing for us. Making Jesus what we are waiting for and watching for each day in this period before he comes back is a hopeful thing. As I come to the end, I return to the question this parable raises. What are we waiting for and watching for each day in this period before Jesus comes back? In this parable, Jesus teaches us that it should be him, the master, that we are to be waiting for and watching for each day in this time before he comes back again. He knows that we have other things we need to do or want to do, but he invites us to focus on him throughout those other things and seek first his kingdom. He asks us to look for and wait for him amidst our earthly lives and the things we are doing here, showing us this will be and is a good thing for us, and that it is hopeful and trustworthy. I'll finish there. If you're able to, please stand. I'd like to pray for us all, and then I thought it would be nice to say the Lord's Prayer together. So I'll pray, and then we'll say that, and the words will appear on the screen for that. God, we thank you for the way that you challenge us and show us about you through your Bible and your words that have been written for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you are gentle and that you are lowly. We thank you that that is the master that we serve and look to and wait for. And we thank you for the promise that you are coming back. Jesus, would you help us to draw our attention to you again every day? In all the things of the world, in all the stuff of the world that can really just fight for our attention, would you help us to yield them and give them over to your greater will? To see them in the context of this as a waiting period for you coming back and bringing your kingdom in full. God, would you help us to learn in practice what it means to seek your kingdom first each day? And I pray that that would just bring hope to us, that the promise of your coming glory and the rumours of you returning again will bring hope to us amidst all the other stuff of the days whilst we wait. Together now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.